Hey everyone, good morning. Welcome to the Daily Drop-In Morning Show, where the Teach Better team is live every single morning, Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Eastern. We are so fortunate to be live with you this morning. It is Thursday, May 12th, and we have a ton in store for you. We have a new face to the Teach Better family who you guys are all going to love. I cannot wait to dive into this conversation. We also, of course, as always, have our weekly theme that we'll still be diving into, a good news article, and of course, those nutty holidays. So go fill up your cup of coffee as we get started. Feel free to send your good morning messages in the comments, and we'll be right back. Good morning, everyone. It is Thursday, May 12th, and as you know, we are nearing the end of this year's Daily Drop-In Show. We are wrapping up the show the first week of June, so we're going to soak up everything we can in the next 3 weeks of this show. Hopefully, you are live with us as we are currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and LinkedIn. But if you are also listening on Teach Better Talk Podcast, shout out to you. You can always go back to every episode we've done all year long since August and listen to those episodes over on Teach Better Talk Podcast. We have Angie with us. Angie, how are you feeling this morning?
Hi, good. Good morning, everyone.
It's so good to have a new face. I know you have a connection with Katie Miglin, who's a member of our team. So I'm just so appreciative that you woke up so bright and early to talk shop with us.
Yes, who knew? Who knew I could do this?
So good. You're going to be phenomenal. You know, it's interesting. We love to bring new faces onto the show. We love to bring, you know, former guests back on the show to have discussions, and it always leads to such great conversation. So I do appreciate it. For our community here who may not be familiar with all the work that you're doing, would you mind giving us a little overview? What do you do? How do you support education?
Sure. I am a co-owner of a pediatric center, Kids Can Do. We've been around about over 30 years. Mm-hmm. I've been there for over 20, and about 3 years ago, the previous owner retired, and four of us who had worked together for a very long time stepped into ownership.
Whoa!
So it's added so many dynamics to life, but just I've always loved what I do. Just working closely with children and families has always been a passion for me, so...
Oh, wow. Okay. I have 100 questions, but one is I would love to better understand what your day-to-day work life is there. I mean, what is your role as you are working with students?
Sure. I am often with some of the speech therapists. They're, you know, giving support, working on scheduling, those types of things, but I definitely still see children in my day. So when I'm with the patients, it's, you know, usually a 45-minute session back to back. Right now we're going out to the parking lot to have our interactions with the families, but that's something I love. I love connecting with the family and building that relationship, because it is not just what I do in therapy that is affecting and helping these children, but just have the family needs to know too. They need to know what's going on and they need to be implementing at home. So I love that piece so much.
You know, there's so many different ways that people work together to develop that whole child, right? And speech therapy is something that I know can be outsourced outside the school building. But as an educator, for the last decade, I know that my students are getting speech therapy support, even mm-hmm. in my school building. Mm-hmm. But to be honest, I felt like I knew nothing about it. It's kind of happening behind closed doors while I'm busy doing something else. And, you know, my fingers are crossed that it's working for that child, for that student, but I'm not familiar with all the inner workings that happens when those sessions occur. So would you mind if educating me a little on the type of work that you get to do, the type of improvements you get to see?
Sure. Yeah. Keep asking me questions, because it's such a broad thing.
Yeah.
We see kids of all ages. Sometimes they're, we have a referral from a school, from a doctor. Sometimes the parent is just concerned and they come in for a screening. So once we get the ball rolling, we do an evaluation, and that could honestly look anything from me sitting at a table doing executive function testing or speech sound testing with a child, to me in a corner of the room because the child cannot handle me in the room, and talking to the parent and trying to just have this child get into a place where they're calm and able to just play. A lot of what we do is very, very play-based. I mean, one of our biggest motivators is play. So I incorporate anything I'm working on, whether it's language skills, speech sounds, engagement. You know, we have a lot of kids on the autism spectrum at our facility, and work closely with the PTs and OTs in my clinic as well. So, it's so fun and challenging and wonderful all at the same time.
You know, I think it's so wonderful that you are able to work with such a variety of ages, and obviously mm-hmm. working with a variety of skill sets, striving to get a student to, you know, their best space in this mm-hmm. area. I won't lie. I mean, I'm not a parent personally, but even just working with children and obviously having, close family friends that have wonderful kiddos, how would they know if it's time to come in to see you for a screening? Is there kind of some key things that you find are common flags to say, hey, if you see this type of thing, you know, we'd love to have you come in for a screening and see if we can help in any way.
Sure. There's just so many areas. It can start as an infant where, we have young moms calling because their baby isn't transitioning to different foods. There's a whole realm of picky eating and where your child only eats three items, then that's a concern. When it comes to speech and language, for the little 2 year, we have 2 year olds and 3 year olds who maybe they're just not talking enough yet. They're hardly saying anything. Or definitely a big one that we see a lot is a child just, you can't understand what they're saying. And so then what happens is they start to become extremely frustrated. They can't communicate, and the parent is doing their best to try and figure out what they're saying. Or a lot of times parents have this amazing ability to know what they're saying, and then nobody else does. Mm-hmm. So it's just those blocks in communication, even play and engagement, where a child just isn't, they're not expanding their play. I mean, kids are so fascinating. They're dynamic. They should be playing with a variety of things, using a variety of sounds, using a variety of language. And anytime you see that just not happening and in a limited space, it wouldn't hurt to talk to someone.
This is such an interesting conversation. I can't wait to dive more into this. As many of you know who've seen the show before, it's Thursday, so we'll be headed very soon into our brainstorm bank where, Angie, I'm so excited to learn more about how you got into this space and how teachers can help you mm-hmm. in this space as we continue to develop that whole child. So I'm so appreciative that you're here. Our comments are already expanding as educators are not only sharing their good morning messages with you, but also kind of noting their interest in this space. So I really, really appreciate it. Angie, before we go too far, we typically take a moment bright and early in the show to document a moment of gratitude. This is something that we are appreciative for. We actually use an app that was recommended to us by a guest called Happy Feed. And what mm-hmm. this does is not only allows us to document a moment of gratitude digitally, but also be able to revisit those moments and interact with other people's moments of gratitude in their free app. So it's kind of a fun system. If I was to ask you this morning something that you are grateful for, what comes to mind?
I think the little victories. I thought about it and like just you go through and you wait for all the big things, but you have to have victories, little victories every day, something every day to be grateful for. And they happen all the time.
Yeah, little victories. You know, mm-hmm. it's so interesting you say that. I was just reflecting on that yesterday mm-hmm. because I think that there's so many, it's so much easier for me to look at a full spectrum of the day and say, gosh, this didn't go well. Ooh, I wish this went differently. You know, I'm so frustrated about that one moment. And yet those small victories are massive in our day-to-day world. What was a small victory that you had yesterday?
I had this amazing experience. One of my autistic children at work, it's very hard to get him engaged, and he has very low affect. And we ended up, it's just really random. I played the Chicken Nugget song. If anyone's heard it, don't try and find out what it is, because you won't be able to get out of your head. And this child, I've seen him for years, and he lit up, and I saw dance moves I've never seen. And all of a sudden he was just with me, and we were just we had this beautiful, fun moment. And it was just so special. And it was just, it was definitely a small victory.
I love those small victories. That sounds like a bigger thing than just a small victory, but I'll take it regardless. Yeah. Maybe that's like a medium-sized victory. That's not like the one. Every educator listening knows those moments where you have like a moment of a breakthrough with a student that may not be life-altering in their whole trajectory of the progress they're making. But as a teacher, it's like those aha moments, those wins, you're like, something worked, and I'm just going to keep celebrating that I got there.
Yes, exactly.
Well, I appreciate that. We're going to head into a segment called Brainstorm Bank, so we'll be right back. Hey, friends, good morning. It is Thursday, May 12th. We appreciate you being here for the Daily Drop-In Morning Show. We are in a segment that happens every single show here on the Daily Drop-In called Brainstorm Bank. And it's truly a time to not only talk about our passions, not only talk about our weekly themes, but also ask you in our community, hey, friends, do you need anything? You know, Angie and I are here to brainstorm or problem solve through anything that you're currently struggling with. And we don't promise to have all the answers, but we'd love to be part of your journey problem solving through whatever you are currently working towards. So please feel free to add any comments you want in the comments live with us. If you have something personally that you want to share, or just a follow-up question for Angie, since she's in a space that I find so interesting, please feel free to be active in this conversation rather than exclusively a consumer. As a reminder, we also really appreciate you sharing the feed anytime you hear something that you find interesting. So if this morning show is resonating with you, if you find it to be an interesting dialogue, please feel free to share so we can reach other educators to be part of this conversation. Angie, there has been so much dialogue so far around the work that you do, but I just find it fascinating. I'd love to kind of start off this morning's conversation with a question going all the way back. How did you get into this space? Why did you decide to work in speech therapy?
Great question. I have always loved children. Yeah. So I knew right off the bat, I wanted to do something with children and something to help. I mean, I just love being, like I said, just part of connecting with people. So I'm a people person. So I knew I wanted that piece. And I really didn't know. I didn't know what that looked like. I remember after my sophomore year in college, wandering around campus thinking, what am I going to do? And I think my mom had heard of speech language pathology. So I went and I met with one of the counselors and started having the conversation. I'm like, this sounds like I could do this. And found myself in the program and knew it was exactly where I was supposed to be. So it was the best feeling. Like, I get to be creative. I get to play. I get to be involved with families. It's so diverse. There's kind of, you know, I go from a baby to a 13-year-old working on very different things. So I love that piece. And I love working with my team. You know, we work very closely with the OTs and PTs, and that's just so incredible to be able to not just focus on what I need from the speech area, but a lot of times it's the child's whole body. It is the child's whole body. It's not a lot of times. So we have to take the whole child, into consideration when we're working with them. And that piece is great too.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting for me. I know we have some similarities in this, but I received special education services from second grade all the way through when I dropped services in high school. And it's amazing to me as an adult reflecting on the supports that I got, whether it be, you know, for speech skills or, you know, learning deficiencies that I was struggling with, how many people in the school system and outside of the school system were part of crafting whatever success I was going to reach. And so I know that you have some similarities in that story of not only being in this field because you care deeply about it, but also having a close family member that you also got gained some perspective from. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yes. Huge perspective. So my son ended up, he was in preschool. And we just started seeing, he was having just horrific meltdowns. At the end of the day, I would get home from work and he had been at preschool. And he couldn't handle just, you know, it's time for dinner. It's time for bath. It's time for bed. Those are things we did every day. And he was having like painful meltdowns. We got him into soccer because he was amazing. He could kick the ball and just loved soccer. And he was against the wall. It was indoor. He's against the wall, like looking at me in terror, get me out of here, save me, mommy. And we're like, go get the ball, have fun. And it wasn't happening. He loves to swim. He would swim underwater. He's one of those kids that was never afraid of the water, yet in the bathtub, he would get splashed and lose it. Like he would just be so upset. And I would just be looking at him like, I don't understand, you know, none of these things made sense. Even from my background, I know a lot about sensory integration. It's something I do. It's something I'm constantly working with my team about with a lot of our kiddos. But when it was my child, I wasn't quite seeing it. And then all of a sudden I was seeing it. So, I brought him into our clinic. Thank God I have these amazing connections in my life. And he ended up, he was diagnosed with a sensory integration disorder. And with him, the biggest thing is unexpected touch. And I say that cause it's like, wow. He gets thrown into preschool for the first time because he had never been around a lot of kids. And he was spending his day being affected by unexpected touch, whether the teacher's, you know, taking his hand to help him write, or the kids are all over. There were 17 kids in the room. And so by the time he got home, he was in fight or flight. And that's why he couldn't handle anything. So it just has opened my eyes to, I see, and my son's name's Jackson. I see Jacksons all day long. So, you know, especially a new family will come in to see me and they're telling me, the little girl is, one of my patients is, they were doing yoga in the class and she just refuses to participate in any classroom activities. And she's just this bright, but biggest smile you've ever seen. So engaging, and she's just a sweetie. But I'm looking at her and on top of the sensory integration, my son also has, it's called, dyspraxia. So it's a motor planning issue where he, it's really hard for him to have the motor plan of any fine motor skills. So writing is so hard for him. He was not able to complete a spelling test in first grade, but if you asked him how to spell, he could tell you easily how to spell things. So that motor piece, he had to think so hard. The plan of each letter, and it was interfering with everything. So that translated to this little girl who I'm like, I just saw Jackson in her, and I'm talking to her mom, and we realized like she couldn't participate. She had some sensory things going on with unexpected touch. So she was just kind of like, I don't know if I don't know how you're going to impact me, I'm going to stay away from you. But on top of it, there was a motor planning issue also where they're doing yoga and it looks so easy. You're just moving your body. But she needed someone to say, do this and have one step at a time. Otherwise, it was just too overwhelming for her to even attempt to join in. So that piece and just has impacted so much of what I do. You know, in the families that come see me, I'm able to say, I know what you're going through and I know how hard this is.
It's always wonderful being able to find a doctor, an educator, and, you know, anybody in our world that's supporting us in some way that has some sort of real world empathy, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it be something that you've seen 100 cases of, and so you can lend some perspective of, oh no, this really does get better, right? I know we've done that so many times with students to say, no, trust me, like, we've seen you struggle. I've seen other students struggle, but I know you can do it. Right. Or even my experience, I'm seeing you like kind of smile and light up being able to, you know, kind of have these interactions with families. Some of my favorite points of the year is being able to sit in an IEP meeting with a student who's struggling with, being diagnosed SLD and be able to say, no, I know you could get through this because I've seen so many success cases, including my own, overcoming these hurdles, and being able to kind of relate in that personal way, even in a professional setting, is, you know, just so wonderful with the people that we work with. Can you tell me, how can educators help? Because to me, I'm so thrilled that there's support out there for students that I don't necessarily need the expertise in. I can go seek out solutions that exist in the communities, whether they come to the building or I can, you know, create some sort of suggestion that they go out and get that support. It's so wonderful that there's people in every community to support, you know, the students that are in our classrooms. But as a teacher, how can I help your work in any way?
Yeah, I think one thing is really, I just feel like so many times, if you see a child who's miserable or not having the joy of a child, you know, that children should have, they're struggling at something, or you're seeing behaviors, I think it's so important to take a step back and know that sometimes, you know, why is this happening? Why? And I know, you know, that there can be a whole plethora of reasons why, but I think sometimes there's might be something going on, just to be aware of that there's this whole world, especially the world of sensory integration disorder. It's huge. And it's so, every child looks different. So I think, it's just important to, and I know with my son, we have days where he just falls apart. He's doing amazing. But he still has days he falls apart. And like just last Saturday, he was falling apart all morning. We're very active with him. We try to keep him moving. But he couldn't even go on a bike ride, and he was just miserable. And so finally, I had to stop and stop my mom brain and turn on my therapy brain, and realize like, oh, he's not able to enjoy this right now. What do we need to do? And we have these strategies that we've implemented with our occupational therapist. And we need to kind of go back and get him reset. And then all of a sudden it was like a light bulb. He was just back to himself, and he's joking and silly, and we were having so much fun. And I looked at my husband, and I'm like, we have to remind ourselves that this is Jackson. Like, this is him when he's happy and good. And, you know, we all go through emotions, and emotions are great. But the Jackson we just saw this morning, that wasn't the true him. He was being affected by his body, and he wasn't able to be present with us in the way that God intended him. So,
yeah, I want to challenge our network here. You know, Angie, in our Teach Better family, we have educators, assistant principals, and, you know, those that operate in the administrative team at both the building level and a district level. We have everybody kind of that gets to support the ecosystem of a school building. And I'd love to challenge our community here, whether you're listening live with us as we stream on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and LinkedIn, or maybe you're listening to this after the fact. Regardless, I'd love to kind of do a little call to action to say, when you head into work today, as you're getting into, you know, your Thursday or wrapping up this week, do you know all the resources that exist in the community? You know, are you aware of the supports that exist not only within the school building, like those incredible people that kind of are employed within the school district that support our students day in, day out, but also externally, what exists in the community to support every single child that you have in your classroom? I wonder if there's a list that should be kept in the office in some regard to be able to say, gosh, we're problem solving through this. Educators are smart, administrators are smart, but there's someone else we can bring into this conversation to lend some perspective. So maybe that little call to action to our community here to say, hey, can you spend a few moments today considering or researching who else supports you? Because Angie, this week's theme is all about professional development. It's all about how we can find the right professional development for our school buildings and districts, who can get involved in that, and what kind of strategies can we get started what I'm hearing from you, Angie, is actually a wonderful professional development could be a, you know, administrator planning their institute day for teachers and maybe partnering with community members like you to come in and lend some perspective and give us some insight. I would love some PD to better understand what your work and your practice is doing to support students and how I can make sure that my students are benefiting from it. I think that is so neat.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think that that's a beautiful opportunity for, again, the whole, you know, to help the whole child where there's so much more. And I think, you know, they are academically when they're in the school, when they're at school, that's one aspect of them, but there is so much more to them. And how are they, how can we help them be most successful on the playground, at home? Are they falling apart at home? You know, is always one of my questions, because maybe they are holding it together at school, but man, if they're falling apart at home, how, you know, to send homework home, that was impossible for us. My son couldn't handle one more thing. So even be, you know, that aspect too, with the families.
Well, and I was going to say, gosh, that's such a wonderful reminder as well. Another opportunity to challenge us to be better is not only welcoming someone like you into a teacher institute learning experience to say, hey, educators, here's some go-to things to consider. And here's how my community can help with those struggles. But gosh, wouldn't it be cool to have you involved in a parent night and working with parents to ask questions and gain insight? I'm sure your time is exceptionally valuable, but would that be something that you or even just people that you've interacted with in your field would be interested in lending their time to better educate the community?
Absolutely. We love getting involved with all things community. So whether it's in the schools, preschools in our area, doctor's offices, it's important, and we make time for it. So it is for sure something we do.
I know we joked that we didn't want to necessarily discuss COVID on this show, but I will tell you, I have had so many this week specifically, but I think it's just a fluke. I think this is everywhere. So many conversations around how much, you know, teachers are struggling, students are struggling. We want to support our teachers so they don't burn out and they feel supported, but we also have students that have struggled and gone through a trauma over the last few years. We want to make sure that we're supporting them in every, gosh, any way we can. And I really value the opportunity this morning to highlight that there are more people a part of this mission than just those few people that are in our school building, but truly the community support that exists, especially in the speech therapy work that you're doing. So I really appreciate this perspective and wonderful reminder that there's more out there than just a teacher constantly spinning their wheels to say, what in the world can I do with this child that's struggling? But there really are other opportunities as well. So thanks for that. You know, we are going to head into our next segment here where we have good news and some goofy holidays. Before we do, Angie, I know that I will be criticized with tweets and messages from our community if I don't ask you about the fact that you took over ownership of somewhere that you originally worked. Can you just tell me how that all works? That's not what we're discussing, but how cool is it that you got a role that you were enjoying and then somehow came together to continue that dream? Can we just discuss that?
Sure. Yes. There are days where I wake up and I'm like, I don't even know what just happened. The four of us that had, we'd been there a very long time. It's two speech therapists, an occupational therapist, and a physical therapist. We had been such a close team. We'd worked closely with the previous owner. And we knew she was coming close to retirement. So she just started having these conversations with us. And it's for me, it's not something that I dreamed of. And I was, you know, I want to be an owner of a clinic, you know. But it was something that, like, once the opportunity showed up in my life, I couldn't say no to. Kids Can Do is so, it has been such a part of my life that I needed to be part of whatever it took to have it continue, and do whatever I could to continue building it and helping it grow. It was we did it right before COVID hit. So we proceeded to shut down within the first 6 months. But it's been such a journey and such a a wonderful experience of growth and just knowing that, you know, you have days and you know that you can always overcome. And that I look back, there's so many things I just continue to learn where it's like, wow, I've got this now because I've already faced that challenge and I know how to handle this now. So there's definitely more challenges in my life, but it's been a really neat growing opportunity.
Kind of such a fun story of, you know, finding something that you are passionate about, making a massive impact, encountering a hurdle, overcoming it. I just think this is so fascinating, Angie. I really appreciate it. We'll be right back with our good news. Good morning, everyone. It is Thursday, May 12th, and we are continuing with our daily drop-in conversation with Angie. We've been able to talk about so many different topics, but Angie, something I'm really appreciative that we've been able to highlight is the incredible work that's happening to support students that exist outside of our schools and inside our schools, and ensuring that we know the resources that exist in our communities to support the children that we are constantly spinning our wheels to find the right perfect path for. So it's been a really wonderful conversation. I appreciate you being able to share so much. And if you are just tuning into the show now, or if you've missed the beginning part of our conversation, definitely stick with us now, but then head back and re-listen to the beginning of this conversation because it's definitely had a lot of good highlights. Angie, in this section, we really love to highlight some wacky holidays that exist in day to day. It's kind of fun to be able to see some serious holidays, some religious holidays, cultural holidays, but also some funny ones. And then we also have a good news story for the day. So are you up for celebrating a little bit?
Of course.
All right. There are some simple holidays today that, I don't know, maybe we can brainstorm some ways to incorporate these into our classrooms, maybe as a bell ringer opportunity, as a way to get a good laugh in the classroom, or even foster some discussion. The first one is that it is World Limerick Day. So a limerick, like a poem, I mean, that could be an interesting, you know, start the day with a limerick with your students.
Yes, I think I challenge everyone.
Why not, right? I think that if I was to start any sort of opportunity with students with a limerick, I'm not familiar. I'll have to research all of the different rules of a limerick, but I'd probably go with the tongue twister at the end of it. Like that's how I would wrap it up, is a funny tongue twister. Get students talking. For speech therapy, a tongue twister must be something that comes into play, right? I feel like those are challenging.
They're very challenging and we usually stay away from them.
Yeah, I would too. I think even just as somebody who feels like I speak, you know, very well, I try and stay away from them as in my day-to-day life too.
Yes, we don't want to overwhelm the children. So we need to start with the basics.
I like basics. All right, be careful with what limericks you pull in with your students today, but let us know if you're listening or with the comments, make sure you share out later what type of limericks you incorporate in your classroom. It's also National Nutty Fudge Day. So like a sweet dessert, dealing with maybe some different nuts and also some fudge, some chocolate. Are you a chocolate lover?
I am a big chocolate lover. Yes. Yeah. Chocolate and nuts. Mm-hmm. Those are two of my things.
So I agree. I like them together. I think that's a perfect combo. I'm actually very open-minded to a variety of different types. but I wonder if there's an opportunity here to give ourselves an excuse to have a really good dessert tonight.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I think it's Thursday. Yes.
Yeah, why not? If it's Thursday, it makes sense to get dessert. Okay. If you were to choose any dessert, I don't know what your schedule looks like today, but let's pretend money's no option, no concern, or busy schedule going to need to travel to pick up this dessert, not a concern. What are you getting?
I am getting a brownie with ice cream and hot fudge with nuts. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, wonderful. This is fitting perfectly. You got to figure out how to put that in your morning this morning.
You know, and it doesn't matter where I get this because it can happen lots of different places. So that is my dessert. Mm-hmm.
I feel like I would need to find a place that gives it to you in a little bit of a skillet. So the brownies really warm and then the ice cream on top gives you that good temperature change.
Yes. I have the visual. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I love it. All right, we're all like putting that on our to-do list today to get some fudge with some nuts. That'll be good. It's National Odometer Day, which I think is just giving us awareness of the importance of the odometer in our vehicles. I will say, I guess I'll be hopping in my car here in a little bit, and I'll take a moment to appreciate my odometer. But I'm sure there's some good history on where the odometer came from and how the technology has evolved over time. Maybe just taking a moment to look into cars.
Or how an odometer got a day.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that. I mean, sometimes there's holidays in here where I'm like, somebody was feeling very creative that morning when they submitted that holiday.
Interesting. That's really interesting.
Last but not least, it's also Tony Hawk's birthday. So amazing skateboarder, Olympian, and wonderful legend himself. So shout out to Tony Hawk, doing great things. Speaking of sports, Angie, do you consider yourself an athletic person?
I do. I played soccer and basketball, and continue to. I've gone away from like any type of competitive sports, but we do lots of biking, and I love yoga and hiking. I've really, you know, again with COVID, it pushed us outside. When we have found ourselves in the middle of winter, we just get our snow suits on and we go hiking through whatever we can in the winter. And that's just been such a fun new sport to take on. Anything just outside.
I feel the same way. I don't know if it was COVID or good timing in my life to, you know, reevaluate the things that I was spending my time on, but I love grabbing the dogs, throwing the leashes on, and going on like great walks or great hikes. I think that's brought me so much joy. Mm-hmm. I will say, in our good news article, it has to do with running, and I am not a runner. I'm terrible at running. Mm-hmm. The only time you should see me running is if I'm being chased.
Yes,
so I suggest, or better yet, if I'm chasing one of my dogs, maybe that's another time I might be
there
running.
There you go. Yeah.
Other than that, I'm not a big runner, but I'm a good walker. Does that count? I'm a good walker.
Yes, it definitely counts. I'm the same. I used to run, but only to get a workout over quicker. But it's not my thing. I'm done. I'm done even trying. I there was a time where I think I want to do a marathon. No, that's not me. I'm okay. I'm okay not doing that. So I'm not a runner either.
Mm-mm. I love being able to highlight this morning, because I will tell you, Angie, I'm not sure how familiar you are with our internal Teach Better team, but we have some big runners here on the team. Jeff Gargis, Chad Orshowski, Dr. Dave Schmitto, always bragging about their miles and their marathons. And it's good bright and early in the morning to be like, that's great for them, not for me. Yes. But I will say, it's okay. Do whatever you like. Do whatever brings you joy. Get that good, athleticism in every single day. Our good news article has to do with a very, very impressive runner. And what I love about this is it's not only inspirational, hopefully for us, but I think it could be a really great story to incorporate into the classroom today or later this week. The headline here says a track star makes an unbelievable comeback in the last minute of a 4x400 relay race. So you should know, I know very little about running, but I came across this article last night as I was scrolling through social media. Zaya Homemade is an 18-year-old freshman, okay, at the University of Michigan. And she recently competed in her first college track meet. Very stressful, right? And you can assume the nerves in your first college stress meet. Well, let me tell you, there was a hiccup in the beginning, and I think I would have quit, and she did not. So within the first moments of the race, right as they got started, her shoe fell off.
Oh, my gosh.
Stop, turn around, and go put on her shoe, which you can only imagine is not like a quick thing, right? I mean, it takes a few seconds. For me, it would take a few minutes, right? Put my shoe back on.
Yes.
So she not only has this hurdle, but then many people just assumed, you know, oh, you just stop. Like they're far ahead at this point, all her other competitors. Nope. She pops on her shoe and she just books it. She passes everyone else in the race, even though they were at more than 4 seconds ahead of her. The closest person to her was 4 seconds ahead of her. And she went through and in 4 laps was able to pass everybody a part of the race. And she actually won.
So that's amazing. So
it is an amazing story. There is video footage. I think it could be a really good thing to dive into. And of course, not only the university is highlighting her, but it seems like the world is celebrating this incredible feat. So shout out to that incredible 18-year-old runner at the University of Michigan, but also kind of a fun story of perseverance, I think.
Yeah, a reminder to never give up.
Oh, see? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a great reminder for Thursday. I feel like in the middle of May, like a little inspiration never hurt anybody, right? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. That's great.
You know, Angie, we're going to wrap up our conversation here, but would you mind sharing if our community here has follow-up questions or wants to learn more about how they can be better, whether they're in the community that you live in here in Illinois, or maybe they're located somewhere else around the world and they just want to be better and have a follow-up question they want to ask you, is there a way that they can get in contact with you?
Yes. Our clinic is, they could find me on our website, which is kidscandoo.org. Also at Facebook at kidscandoo. And we do have Instagram, an Instagram account as well, kids.can.do. So we'd love to hear from anyone. I would love to have a conversation any way I can help, for sure.
I really appreciate that, Angie. Thank you so much for the opportunity to learn about a space that truly I'm so unfamiliar in. This was such an insightful conversation. And I appreciate, again, that you wake up bright and early to have this conversation. So thank you to you. For everyone else here in our Teach Better community, we hope that you have an incredible Thursday, May 12th. There's a lot in store, we know, for the rest of the month, and we are so excited to spend the next 3 weeks here celebrating with all of you before we take our summer break for Daily Drop-In. As a reminder, our last show will be June 3rd with the one and only Brad Hughes, so that will be a wonderful conversation. We will be here bright and early live again tomorrow morning. But if you need anything in the meantime, please don't hesitate to reach out. Angie, we're going to stick right here, but we're going to say goodbye to our community. So thanks, everyone. Have a wonderful Thursday.
Bye.